Welcome to New World Notes, edited by moi, Kenneth Doust. Today, we'll take a quick look at a big, big problem, the corporate-controlled practice of medicine. I hope you'll stay tuned. Weighty economists announced well over a year ago that the recession is officially over. And they're correct, so long as all you care about is the profits of the largest corporations. Down here on the ground, things look rather different to us benighted, uninformed 99%ers. Many of the people I know are underemployed, and some are unemployed. Employee benefits, such as pensions and health insurance, are getting less and fewer and worse. Public services are getting less and fewer and worse. And I'm speaking of a community that, overall, is doing somewhat better than the American average at the moment. You don't have to travel far to find communities where life is much grimmer. But here, too, we've seen decades of retrenchment. In central Connecticut, manufacturing has been shutting down for decades. In Hartford, the Hyblein Distillery, that's how we pronounce Hubline around here, the Hyblein Distillery and Royal Typewriter are long gone. Colt Firearms and Pratt & Whitney are still here, but at a much reduced size. With mergers and downsizing, even the insurance industry is declining as a regional employer. In insurance, management is shifting from Hartford to Manhattan. The lower jobs are shifting from Hartford to Bombay. Farming was pretty much gone by the time I arrived here in the 1980s, except for some shade-grown tobacco to wrap cigars. The tobacco barns are still there, and some of the netting, but I see less and less tobacco growing. And Main Street in my hometown has lost yet another business. The bicycle shop has just closed down and moved away. But wait, all is not downsizing and decline and loss. There's new construction outside of town. There's renovation of buildings inside my town. New offices are opening. More and more ads in the local papers are offering locally delivered products and services. Probably on TV too, but I'm not a viewer. And all of this growth, all of this new construction, new renovation, new advertising is from one commercial profit-making industry. Amidst shutdowns, retrenchments, declines, and layoffs, one industry in Connecticut seems to be growing and thriving. Medicine. Corporate medicine. Is your heart sinking yet? The payment of your medical care, if you're lucky to have it, is now handled by corporate-controlled big insurance. Are you happy with the costs and the services you've been receiving from your insurance company? The prescription drugs you take are produced by corporate-controlled big pharma. As a result, you're paying the highest price in the world for each drug. And if you're lucky, the drug won't kill more people than it saves. Are you happy with the deal? And now the third arm of the trident goes corporate. Medical care. I think my own experience is fairly typical. My old family physician retired a year ago. He was an old-style, independent professional. Set his own hours, selected his office location, hired a small staff, kept whatever profit remained after his expenses. My new family physician works for a growing medical care corporation. They provide him with office space and a staff to share with others. They pay him a salary, set his hours, and establish productivity requirements for him. The profit-making corporation that employs him and many other physicians has the same goal as every other profit-making corporation, to make the highest profit possible. The same corporation also owns and/or manages a handful of hospitals and specialized treatment centers, all designed to make a profit. The more expensive the treatment, the more money they make. The for-profit corporate medical care industry is young. So far, it hasn't grown and consolidated into giant corporations like Big Pharma's Pfizer Inc. and Novartis, like big insurances Aetna and the Travelers. But that's the direction it's heading, and it's moving fast. There's big money to be made in our health, brothers and sisters. No, that's not right. There's big money to be made in our getting sick and then having our sickness treated. The Susan G. Komen Organization was in the news a few weeks back when it canceled support for Planned Parenthood. Bad enough, but that's not the real scandal. The Susan Komen Organization has long been a right-wing corporate tool if ever there was one. It wants your cancer to be detected and treated. That's where the corporate profits are. It has no interest whatever in having your cancer prevented. Prevention would reduce corporate profits if companies had to, say, stop polluting our groundwater. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. We'll come to Susan G. Komen in a few minutes. Back to corporate medicine in general. Now, this is a big topic, and today we'll just scratch the surface of it. We won't have time for a thorough analysis, but we'll have time for some random potshots. I'll read an article on corporate-controlled diagnostic technology, particularly the very profitable for-profit CT scan business. And I'll read an article on Susan G. Komen, a nonprofit organization that, as I hinted, is very much in bed with the for-profit medical technology business and even more in bed with a corporate-controlled big pharma. But you deserve a break from my own voice, so let's start with some recorded words of healthcare reformer Dr. Susan Rosenthal. Later we'll hear from Connecticut's own Ralph Nader. I interviewed Susan Rosenthal about 2 years ago on her new book, Sick and Sicker. Rosenthal talks about the huge death toll from the medical system in capitalist America. 300,000 American deaths every year are caused by the for-profit medical system itself. And that's not even counting the thousands of people who die because they can't get treatment, because they can't pay for health insurance. 300,000 excess deaths a year. And no politician will define this as a problem. Here's a couple minutes of my talk with Susan Rosenthal.
At the end of Chapter 7, you argue that physicians and hospitals are needlessly killing people. Maybe 200,000 a year in the United States alone. Half of that is from medical errors, and the other half of that is from infections picked up in the hospital, which would largely be preventable. And so 200,000 is a staggeringly large number of fatalities. And I tried to look up firearm-related deaths in the United States because a lot of people are very upset about that. And the statistics I came up with were for 2006, and there was something like around 31,000 deaths by firearm in the United States. More than half of that was suicide, which is a special case that I don't want to get into. And some of those deaths were legally justifiable, some were accidents. So there were about 13,000 incidents of criminal homicide involving guns in the year 2006 in America. 13,000 is a whole lot less than 200,000 unnecessary coffins. And yet, you know, many Americans are very, very exercised about firearms, and the deaths from medicine just seem to be completely under the radar for them. Can you address that?
Yes, Ken, and you can add another 100,000 deaths every year from prescription drugs that are taken as prescribed. So we're really talking about 300,000 deaths a year from the medical system.
Good
That's
Lord.
Staggering. That's 1% of the U.S. population every year dying because the medical system is run as a business, fundamentally. And that really is the cost of doing business under capitalism. And so the cost of doing business, it sickens workers, it produces products that are dangerous and faulty, harmful, destructive.
And it produces medical care that's faulty and harmful and destructive and dangerous.
Absolutely. And all of this death, injury, sickness, and misery cannot be properly admitted to be the result of the social system, because to do so would indict the system as murderous. these problems cannot be rectified without cutting into profits. And so as long as we have a profit system, these problems will continue and they will get worse. And that's why capitalism is simply incompatible with human rights, human health, and with the health of the environment.
Strong words by Dr. Susan Rosenthal. Certainly, for-profit capitalism seems to conflict, from time to time at least, with the practice of medicine. The first injunction of the Hippocratic Oath is, first, do no harm. The first injunction of capitalism is, first and foremost, maximize your profit. And we see the two systems most sincerely colliding in the medical technology business. Here's a great article about CT scans by John LaForge. It's from Counterpunch, December 26, and it's entitled, The Leading Cause of Breast Cancer? Here we go. Profiteers in the medical CT scan business took a big hit last week from a major new government report on the causes of breast cancer. The exhaustive analysis was published by the Institute of Medicine, IOM, the health arm of the National Academy of Sciences. It found that medical radiation, particularly the large radiation dose delivered by CT scans, is the foremost identifiable cause of breast cancer. More than 230,000 new cases of breast cancer will be diagnosed this year in the United States, and 40,000 women will die of the disease. The new Institute of Medicine report probably doesn't sit well with the industry, hospitals, and clinics that make millions of dollars from selling and overusing CT machines. The authors suggest that women avoid unnecessary or inappropriate medical radiation, a thinly veiled criticism of the industry that will give you a CT scan for a toothache if you don't object to it. In 1980, there were 3 million CT scans performed in this country. The number rose to 62 million in 2006 and to 72 million in 2011. It's a growth industry that doesn't care if it promotes tumor growth. The IOM committee made several suggestions for preventive actions that women can take. The very first one is to, quote, avoid inappropriate medical radiation exposure, unquote. In the question and answer session of the IOM analysis online, the authors recommend, quote, avoiding medical radiation and hormone therapy unless they are medically necessary, unquote. Furthermore, so-called mammography is just a lower dose of X-rays given directly to breast tissue. The advisability of mammography has been under attack ever since the British medical journal The Lancet, in October 2006, reported on a study by Peter Gostia that found mammography produced no health benefits. The late Dr. John Goffman argued for his entire career that X-rays caused more breast cancer than they detect, a position defended at length by Dr. Samuel Epstein in his book, The Politics of Cancer. But back to CT scans, which are much deadlier than mammography. NBC News said in 2009 that each whole-body CT scan can deliver as much radiation in 10 minutes as 440 chest X-rays. 440 chest X-rays. The Institute of Medicine's authoritative warning against CT scans complements a 2009 study led by the National Cancer Institute. That one showed that CT scans, administered in the year 2007 alone, may have contributed to 29,000 new cancer cases and nearly 15,000 cancer deaths in the United States. Dr. Rita Redberg, University of California, San Francisco, told NBC, "We're getting a lot of radiation from CT scans, and there are a lot of excess cancers." CT scanners seem to have been given a license to kill. Patients considering medical radiation should ask themselves Dirty Harry's famous question, "Do I feel lucky?" And leaping from James Bond to Dirty Harry, so ends John LaForge in his article, The Leading Cause of Breast Cancer? You're listening to New World Notes, where we're dealing with a few items on the general subject of for-profit medicine. Last week, we heard a rousing speech by Ralph Nader at Harvard Law School. He denounced the trillions of dollars since 9/11 our leaders have spent on global warfare and domestic spying. And they junked the Constitution, too, all in the name of national security. 3,000 people were killed on 9/11, and the government went on a rampage. Every year, 100 times as many people are killed by for-profit medicine, and thousands more are killed in preventable workplace accidents and from lack of health care. Every year. Yet no politician acts as though this had anything to do with national security. Let's hear again just a couple of minutes of Ralph Nader.
The styles of violence that are described in our country and given highest priority are those that are not responsible to corporate power. They are not traced to corporate power. And so while 3,000 people were massacred on 9/11, which generated a massive counterterrorism business with trillions of dollars in war and armaments and domestic security activities and jobs and consultings and think tanks, and equipment, and it was all to keep America safe. Here's what was going on. Every year, 45,000 people dead every year, according to Harvard Medical School researchers, because they don't have health insurance, they can't afford it, to get diagnosed and treated. Every year, 58,000 Americans die from workplace-related diseases, according to OSHA, and trauma. Every year, 65,000 Americans die, according to the EPA, from preventable pollution. Every year, 100,000 Americans die every year due to hospital malpractice, not counting emergency rooms. Harvard School of Public Health study. In other words, there are well over 300,000 Americans who die from preventable causes and certainly should reside under the definition of national security that aren't even part of a single dialogue in any political campaigns of the major parties. They are not the preoccupation of Barack Obama, who has spent more time figuring out how to kill a suspected terrorist overseas in his briefings every morning than he has spent on all of these preventable American deaths, including far larger numbers of sick and injured people who are directly under his authority and responsibility to do something about it.
Speaking of corporate profits, back to the breast cancer business. This article is by Douglas A. Berg from Counterpunch, February 9, 2012. It's called The Komen Con. And notice the interesting ways that so much of what he's saying echoes what has been said by John LaForge and Susan Rosenthal and Ralph Nader. The Komen Con. Nancy Goodman Brinker was a pioneer of cause marketing. She founded Susan G. Komen for the Cure in 1982, reportedly because of a deathbed promise she made to her sister, a victim of breast cancer. Then in 1994, Brinker founded Your Corner, Inc., a for-profit company that markets health products and information. In 1998, Brinker sold Your Corner to AstraZeneca, the third largest pesticide manufacturer in the world, primarily through Syngenta, a giant global agribusiness company it owns jointly with Novartis. AstraZeneca has had close ties to Nancy Brinker for many years. It gave $97,000 to Komen and its affiliates in the first 6 months of 2008 alone. and it has been a big presence at Komen's Race for the Cure. AstraZeneca is also one of the largest contributors to Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The problem here is that pesticides cause breast cancer. AstraZeneca solves the problem by no longer advertising itself as a pesticide manufacturer. It is a life science company. Ta-da! Problem solved! Well, they still manufacture more pesticides than ever. Pesticides congregate in the sexual glands of mammals, causing cancers, birth defects, etc., etc. Susan G. Komen for The Cure has created a lengthy list of risk factors for breast cancer. Nowhere in this list can you find exposure to toxins, probably the greatest risk factor of all. Toxins such as, say, pesticides. Hey, Nancy, didn't your sister ask you to cure breast cancer? Was her dying wish, please forgive them for killing me. Pay yourself $500,000 a year. And, oh, by the way, please protect those poor pesticide manufacturers. They know not what they do. It gets worse. You've heard the famous slogan, the best prevention is early detection. Think about it. If you get breast cancer, you didn't see the doctor soon enough. Your fault. Next case. No wonder AstraZeneca gives handsomely. The focus of Komen and pharmaceutical research is entirely on screening and treatment, not on prevention. In other words, the cure ignores the cause. Less than 5% of the total research dollars in this country are spent determining and eliminating the causes of cancer. AstraZeneca does not profit only on pesticides. Since the 1990s, AstraZeneca has bought up cancer treatment centers until it owns one of the country's largest chains. With $13 billion in profits in 2011, it makes billions selling oncology drugs. It makes billions running for-profit cancer treatment centers. And it makes billions selling pesticides and herbicides. In business parlance, this is called vertical integration. AstraZeneca causes cancer, they give money to charities that ignore the causes of cancer, and they cure us with their toxic drugs. An enviable business model. The worse the product, the more money they make. AstraZeneca is not the only culprit in this unholy alliance. General Electric is also a large contributor to Susan G. Komen. Not so coincidentally, GE is a huge manufacturer of mammogram equipment. Mammograms have come under heavy criticism in recent years for needlessly exposing patients to radiation and for yielding numerous false positives, which often result in unnecessary surgeries. Unlike many doctors and charities, Komen continues to recommend annual mammograms. It is hard not to think of Komen as a pure propaganda ploy and a great tool for supplying qualified prospects to the cancer industry. Is it any surprise that Nancy Brinker was also a bundler of campaign contributions for George W. Bush and also a Bush pioneer? That title required making contributions of at least $100,000 to his presidential campaign. Is it surprising that the staff of Komen is stuffed full of right-wing extremists? Anybody surprised by Komen's decision to drop funding for Planned Parenthood? If you are surprised, you've bought Susan G. Komen's purported mission of curing breast cancer, rather than understanding the real mission of the cancer industry and its supporters in the life sciences of killing insects with chemicals that also kill humans. Putting the spotlight upon this unholy alliance is making some very rich, very immoral people very nervous. Expect a rash of corporate name changes and massive increases in public relations budgets, if the attention lasts much longer. What one should not expect is any change in business practices. So ends Douglas A. Berg's The Komen Khan. A reminder that this and just about everything you hear at New World Notes have been gently edited for radio broadcast, and you'll find links to the original at our website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. And thanks for listening to our small glance at a big subject. To paraphrase that great anti-war slogan of the 1960s, for-profit medicine is not healthy for children and other living things. We happen to focus on breast cancer, and here is a great example of why the marketplace is not the solution to every problem. Cleaning up the environment to help prevent cancer would reduce corporate profits, because pollution curbs cost money. On the other hand, giving you cancer both saves corporate America money and creates more business and more profits for the medical diagnostics industry and the medical treatment industry. Follow the money, and you'll see that nobody important benefits from preventing cancer. But there's big money to be made in treating it. Well, on that cheerful note, New World Notes bids you adieu. We come to you from the spacious underground studios of WWUHFM, a community service of that beacon of light in darkest Connecticut, the University of Hartford. MP3s of almost every installment of the show, plus a lot of other neat stuff, are available for free at our website. Again, that is newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Ilgitamai non carborundum. Stay healthy and ciao.